your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Subbing in for Rick on the wake-up call on our special Virginia Film Festival edition. We have two guests this year. Traditionally, we've had Jody Kilbasa. Jody, introduce yourself.
Good morning. It's Jody Kilbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival.
Thank you. And to your right, on my left, is Wes Harris. Wes Harris, introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Good morning. I'm the associate programmer and production coordinator at the festival.
Excellent. I want to thank you both for being here. I know this is an awfully busy week. The film festival starts on what day, Jody?
Thursday, November 3rd.
And what time in the morning? How soon can people start lining up to see films?
Well, you know, actually the first films kick off in the mid-afternoon. Wes, what, 3:30?
We've got a 3 o'clock shorts documentary program is the first show.
Okay. This is going to be a wide-ranging discussion. We want to go all over the place to talk about some of the spotlight films that are coming in, some of the sort of mini-series within the festival. I want to remind people that support for WNRN comes from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville and at 3 locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. You're listening to the Wake Up Call on WNRN 91.9 in Charlottesville and Richmond's 103.1. All right, so, good morning. Let's talk about, because people are always interested in the guests, who you're bringing in for the festival. Some names they've heard of, some maybe they're learning for the first time. So, Jody, why don't you pick a few and tell us who you got coming in and what their films are about.
Well, we have a remarkable line of guest artists coming in this year. I certainly think that everybody's going to be interested to learn about and see Oliver Stone, who is a 3-time Academy Award-winning director, writer, producer. Actually, I believe has been nominated 11 times before, and just a remarkable career from Platoon to Born on the 4th of July to both Wall Streets to JFK. And actually, one of my favorite films is early work. He was the screenwriter on Midnight Express, if you remember that incredible film, which was on 1979, I believe. So, you know, a really, really remarkable, extensive career, and a gentleman who's always sort of been in the throes of controversy sometimes about his films. And, you know, I think a really incredible find for us to be able to bring him in. We're doing the 20th anniversary screening of JFK, and there's a moderated conversation immediately following with Oliver Stone and Professor Larry Sabato of the Center for Politics, so that really should be fascinating. And then later that evening, we're working with the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression, and we're bringing in Larry Flint.
That's right.
We're having the 15th anniversary screening of The People versus Larry Flint, and then there's going to be a moderated discussion with a few legal experts about the right of freedom of expression immediately following, and there should be a lot of fireworks surrounding that discussion. Should be really, really interesting.
And Oliver Stone connection with the Larry Flint movie?
Yeah, you know, that was kind of interesting. We'd been working on getting Oliver, and of course, you know, you forget the immense career Oliver's had, and I had completely forgotten, and this just worked out, that Oliver, of course, had produced The People versus Larry Flint.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's really interesting. We're screening these films back-to-back in Culber Theater on the grounds of the University of Virginia on Friday evening, November 4th. We also have a new series that I'm really proud of. I've worked for a long time on this. Wes has also been incredibly helpful in helping me pull this together. And, you know, there's the Library of Congress has its film campus.
That's right.
In Culpeper, Virginia. It's a remarkable place.
The Packard campus, that's right.
The Packard campus.
Just an hour or so north of us.
And we've been working with them for the better part of a year to try and launch a film series, and we're doing it at this year's film festival, and it's a long title, it's a mouthful, but it's Turner Classic Movies and the Library of Congress Celebrate the National Film Registry, hosted by TCM's Ben Menkowitz. And of course, Mr. Menkowitz is one of the co-hosts of Turner Classic Movies. You can see him on the weekends. He's incredible film historian and film critic,
and he has comes from a legacy,
a long lineage of directors and producers and writers in his family that have worked in the film industry.
Right.
And he's coming in, and we're presenting five films that are part of the National Film Registry, which was established by Congress in 1988 and launched in 1989. And each year, 25 films are selected to be on the National Film Registry that have shown great cultural value, significant cultural films important to our nation's heritage. And it's a remarkable list of films. Well over 500 films to date so far since 1989 have been added to this list. And we have selected five films through this list, talking with Ben Mankiewicz. And those films include National Velvet, which is being screened on Saturday morning.
Classic Elizabeth Taylor film.
Starring Elizabeth Taylor, who has a long storied history here with Charlottesville. Film Giant many years ago. And a beautiful film, a film I grew up as a kid loving. And we're offering this for free at the Paramount Theater. Ben Mankiewicz will intro this film, and it's at 10:30 on Saturday morning. Later in the day, we're actually screening a film, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, which the Library of Congress is actually preserved, and this sort of highlights their preservation efforts. On Thursday, Wes, we're screening a film, These Amazing Shadows. You should talk a little bit about that.
So to get into Treasure Sierra Madre, are people going to need any stinking badges?
They'll need tickets, and they'll get them in to
They will
the
need
screening,
tickets for that
and
one.
And the folks from the Library of Congress are going to be on hand for a discussion about film preservation following that film, since it is the one that they preserved in-house up in Culpeper. They'll also be on hand for the film Jody just mentioned, These Amazing Shadows, that we're showing on Thursday evening. It's a history of exactly what we're doing, celebrating the National Film Registry. Talking heads from folks, Rob Reiner, other Martin Scorsese, Roger Ebert, folks that are very active in the film preservation world, and we're going to have a few of them there in the theater in person to really frame this series of classics films in a really strong context.
Well, on a personal note, I want to express to you how pleased I am that you're doing this. You know my connection with film preservation and what a long interest it has been for me. And very glad that you're working with people up at the Packard campus and that we're doing this. Talk a little bit about your relationship with Turner Classic Movies and how they fit into this program.
Well, you know, we immediately contacted Turner Classic Movies after extensive discussions with the Library of Congress, and I reached out to them and I said, you know, this is such a wonderful partnership that we have going. Frankly, it's a one-of-a-kind film program in the United States right now, working with the Library of Congress in this manner. And, you know, we invited them to participate, and they offered that Mr. Mankiewicz's talents and services to come in to host this. And we were very excited about that offer, and they've supported us in a number of ways as well. And, you know, we started talking and looking at other films, and both Wes and I thought about, you know, gosh, we really need to include Terrence Malick in this list, and wouldn't it be great if we could screen Badlands, and if Sissy Spacek and Jack Fisk might be willing to come in and talk about this film as well.
Two of our local luminaries.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to be able to set that up, and they were kind enough to be able to agree to come in. And so, you know, immediately following the screening of Badlands on Saturday afternoon at the Paramount Theater, both Sissy Spacek and Jack Fisk will be on hand. This was really Sissy Spacek's first feature film, and where she met her husband, Jack Fisk. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he's the art director on that film and has a longtime collaboration with Terrence Malick. In fact, just did Tree of Life with him this past year and is, I believe, working on his next film project as well.
Also known for There Will Be Blood, numerous David Lynch films. He's really an exquisite production and art designer.
We are listening to Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris from the Virginia Film Festival. Support today is coming from L. Oppelman, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters. Continuously operating since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department is now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages from Fender and Peavey. Also available, it's complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. So, people are tuning in this morning. They're listening to us talk about the film festival. If they want to find out what films are showing and work up their own schedule, where should they go? There's a website, and then there's a program.
Certainly.
Several copies of which are floating around downtown.
VirginiaFilmFestival.org is the quickest and easiest way. You can go online. You can look at the entire film schedule, the dates, the times, the synopses of the films, who our special guests are, read about the panels, all of this. And you can purchase those tickets online very easily. You can go down to our two box offices. We have a box office in Culber Theater on the arts grounds of the University of Virginia. There's a parking garage there, the Culber parking garage, or you can go downtown to the Main Street Arena where our festival headquarters and box office are operating. They're open today from 12 to 5, in fact, and then from the rest of the week on through the festival. Great, easy location. Our programs are all over the downtown area. They'll be dropped in the Daily Progress on Wednesday morning in your Daily Progress newspaper, and on Thursday morning in The Hook, and I understand The Hook is a sponsor of this show.
Yes,
we have a 10-page spread on the festival as well that will give you some highlights of the festival. So should be pretty easy to get tickets.
There's also a smartphone application, is there not?
Yes, there is. We have an iPhone app for the Virginia Film Festival as well, which you can download.
That's right. Well, you've mentioned Oliver Stone, Sissy Spacek, Ben Mankiewicz. We also and Larry Flynt and Jack Fisk. That's quite a lineup of people. Bill T. Jones is a name that might be familiar to some people here in Virginia.
Well, that's right. On Sunday afternoon, we're celebrating 45 years of Kartemquin Films, and we have a Kartemquin film retrospective, incredible documentary, documentarians, and we have the founder of Kartemquin, Gordon Quinn, coming in, along with Steve James, probably best known as the director of Hoop Dreams, who's coming in with a new documentary called The Interrupters. But on Sunday afternoon, we have a new documentary, A Good Man, that takes a look at the year in the making of a new piece commissioned for Bill T. Jones about Lincoln by the Ravinia Arts Festival. And a really stunning documentary. Bill T. Jones is in residency, which is supported by the Vice Provost of the Arts Office. And he'll be on hand, along with Gordon Quinn, to talk about this film afterwards. And, you know, Bill was here 2 years ago, and there's a short film that we're going to be screening just prior to this called 100 Migrations. It's about 15 minutes long. And this film had well over 100 community members, University of Virginia students and faculty that actually participated in this dance and that will be featured in the documentary as well. So there should be a lot of interest for people to come in. And interestingly enough, this is the launch of a new 4VA initiative, which is funded by Cisco. And we will be simulcasting the screening of these two films and the discussion with Bill T. Jones and Gordon Quinn to Virginia Tech as well. So this is really going to broaden our audience out there. And it's the first time I believe that this has been done as part of that 4VA initiative. So we're excited about that.
Right. Some of our brothers and sisters over in Virginia Tech, they're going to be, this is going to be simulcast. Is it going to be like streaming over a computer, or is it going to be in a central location, like an auditorium?
It's going to be in a central location, in an auditorium or extraordinarily large classroom, something like that. And all of this is part of the Arts Assembly address at the University of Virginia. So, again, you know, when you think about Bill T. Jones, a national treasure, a legendary dancer, choreographer, someone who's received the Tony Award most recently and was an honoree at the Kennedy Center for the Lifetime Awards just last year. What a treat that is to have him here and to see this stunning documentary.
If you're tuning in just now, we're listening to Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris from the Virginia Film Festival, which starts Thursday and runs 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. Support for NRN today is also coming from Dixon Disposal. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort it and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. More is at area code 434-978-2111 or DixonDisposal.com. Jody, you mentioned Kartemquin Films. Now, for people who aren't familiar with them, they are a sort of documentary filmmaking shop out of Chicago. They've been around
That's
since
right,
1966.
Right.
They're named after the principals who started the started the program. Gordon Quinn, Stan Carter, and Jerry Temminer, if I'm reading this correctly.
Correct, yes.
And this is going to be a whole thread through the film festival. You're going to be showing several of their films to celebrate their 45 years of filmmaking.
Well, that's correct. Now, Wes, why don't you jump in on this as well,
please,
too?
Wes.
I mean, we're screening 8 documentaries during the festival, and, you know, they're known for documentaries of social concern. And I think we've assembled a really interesting mix. I believe 6 of them are older, 2 of them are new. But, Wes, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, a few festivals around the country are celebrating Cartemquin's 45th anniversary this year, but I don't think anyone is doing it as extensively as we are. We're actually showing 9 films of their shorts and features together.
Stand corrected.
Spanning their entire career, going all the way back to Inquiring Nuns, which I believe is the earliest film of theirs that we're showing, which is basically a cinema verite document following 2 nuns walking the streets, walking up to people and asking them, what makes you happy?
Yes, from 1968.
Is it 8?
Yes, yeah. Be careful when you say nuns walking the streets there, Wes. They're,
easy to feel about
they're out interviewing.
Easy. Sunday morning. Beyond that, we're showing Taylor Chain 1 and Taylor Chain 2, which is a documentary sort of profile of a labor union movement, a successful one at that. The second part returns about a decade later to see the workers and the union leaders, the shop leaders, working together and being successful and such. So it's actually sort of an uplifting film in a surprising package. Beyond that, we're showing a few really just nice short films paired with some of these Winnie Wright, Age 11, Now We Live on Clifton. Another one of the more recent features is Vietnam Long Time Coming, which features veterans from both sides of the Vietnam War returning and going on. How long was the bike trail?
Yeah,
that
I'm not sure how long that bike did, but they followed the Ho Chi Minh Trail,
right,
essentially through Vietnam.
It's really about the healing process of returning and these finding these brothers in arms from both sides of the conflict in very non-pedantic, non-saccharine ways. It's a very strong film.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have The Interrupters, which is the Steve James.
Absolutely.
I mentioned he did Hoop Dreams earlier, and that's a look at a group of young men and women, many of whom were former gang members, who are interrupting
gang violence
and before it gets out of control. And, of course, Steve James will be there to talk about that film, along with our own Chief Longo with the Charlottesville police here as well.
Excellent.
Should be a really interesting conversation.
Speaking of documentaries, another documentary that you're showing that is not part of the Cartemquin series, but on Saturday morning, one with a strong local connection, Growing Up Quezon.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk a little bit about that, Wes?
Yeah, we have director Doug Barry coming in. He's a local filmmaker with his wife, Judy. They've put together Growing Up Quezon, which is a history of Charlottesville's Quezon family. Going back several generations, as the family has, there were 7 brothers who shipped off to fight in World War II. And when they returned, all 7 did return, they settled down and decided to form the Charlottesville City Market. A lot of members, Sandy Kaysen, one individually, is very close ties to the festival, a favorite of ours. Hopefully will be on hand to discuss the film and their strong community relations. And that film actually dovetails into a sidebar of films that we're doing that focuses on local food, farming, and sort of more broadly the local movement that's become so popular in the last few years.
You know, I want to talk about this Growing Up Quezon just for a second,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, for me, what was remarkable about the film is it reminded me of stories my father used to tell when he was a kid growing up, and it, you know, really focuses on the 30s and the 40s of growing up and living in Charlottesville and hearing stories about, you know, farmers bringing in pints of blackberries and selling them for 3 cents a pint, and the various jobs it goes through that these brothers held after World War II. It was remarkable, and it really gives this snapshot of Charlottesville that really doesn't completely exist any longer. It's really, really a fascinating film in that regard.
We're talking about the Virginia Film Festival. The markets of Tiger Field forecast for Central Virginia and Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today with a high 50 to 55, upper 40s in the valley. Tonight, partly cloudy in Charlottesville, Richmond, and Lynchburg clear with lows 30 to 35. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high 52 to 57. Right now in the valley, it's 36, 48 in Lynchburg, 49 in Richmond, and in Charlottesville, it's 45 degrees at WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Rick Moore is standing behind me, ready to answer the phones if you want to call in at 979-0919. We're talking to Wes Harris and Jody Cabasa of the Virginia Film Festival. We've talked a lot about the smaller, more interesting films, but I mean, let's leap a minute to some of your spotlight films, because we've kind of passed over those. We've got some very big films coming into town on Thursday night and Friday night.
Well, Thursday night we open with The Descendants. It's an Alexander Payne film that stars George Clooney. That film actually sold out within 48 hours.
Wow.
I don't think that's ever happened before for the Virginia Film Festival, but it was really, really quick. When we say sell out, there are always sometimes last-minute tickets that are made available, so we do encourage people to go back a day of and check. That evening, immediately following that screening of The Descendants, we have Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, which has been just receiving tremendous buzz and is also selling very, very well. Our centerpiece film is Albert Nobbs, which right. Has received tremendous critical acclaim in Telluride and Toronto and various other big festivals around the world. And that is a film that is written by Glenn Close, stars Glenn Close and Mia Wasikowska, who will actually be in for the film along with festival favorite, the director Rodrigo Garcia.
Mia Wasikowska will be here.
Pardon me?
Mia Wasikowska.
Yes, Mia Wasikowska.
Mia W.
Pardon me? Mia W, yes. Hey, with a Polish background, I should be able to pronounce that name as much as I've struggled through it. And Rodrigo Garcia, the director, who's been in Charlottesville with a number of films in years past. Julie Lynn, who's a University of Virginia alum, is the director the producer on this film, and she'll be in for it, along with Bonnie Curtis, who's a longtime Steven Spielberg producer, and she'll be in as well. So that's a really great lineup. That's Saturday evening at the Paramount Theater. Our closing night film is independent film that stars Greg Kinnear, Billy Crudup, Alan Arkin, called Thin Ice.
Right.
And it's a very quirky sort of well, I don't want to give it away. It's a fun film, and I highly recommend seeing it. You know, some of the other highlights, I mentioned JFK and The People versus Larry Flint, but Melancholia.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that one. Is that a science fiction film?
It's science fiction done by Lars von Trier. It's not
all right.
It's not Roland Emmerich. It's not buildings crashing and comets hitting the Earth. It's basically people sitting around being sad about the fact that there's a planet about to crash into the Earth, and his very typical Lars von Trier style. It centers around Kirsten Dunst's character on the evening of her wedding and the wedding reception, and everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Family feuds, fights, everything breaks out. All of that,
plus Earth gets destroyed.
All of that is overshadowed by the fact that there has been a planet hiding behind the sun that is now peeking around and crashing into our planet.
And you know, that's another film that sold out within the first 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I recommend that people still go down to the theaters and check and see if they can get in.
Still a chance.
But I also encourage people to go online today at virginiafilmfestival.org and start looking at the schedule and buying your tickets. We had 17 sellouts last year. We're already on pace to have many more than that, and we've got a great lineup of films, including one of my favorites in the festival this year, a true independent film. It won the Audience Favorite Award at the prestigious South by Southwest Film Festival last March. It's called Natural Selection. The director, Robbie Pickering, and the star, Rachel Harris, will both be on hand for this screening, which is Saturday evening at 6 p.m. at Culber Theater on the grounds of the University of Virginia. And Rachel Harris is probably best known as the really nasty, nasty girlfriend in The Hangover.
Right.
Very talented actress. This is a breakout performance for her. It's a great film. It's a lot of fun, this film. And, you know, Rachel has a history with Charlottesville. She came in and worked on the film Evan Almighty a few years back, and actually lived in Charlottesville for 6 weeks while that was being shot. She has family in the region as well. And I had the good fortune to produce her when she first moved out to Hollywood 20 years ago in a theater that I owned in a live production. So I haven't seen her in about 17 years, so I'm excited that she's coming in as well.
So Wes Harris, any relation?
Not at all, not that I'm aware of. Even though this is a film centering around unexpected children from sperm donors, but
so luckily
I'm safe there.
We're all clutching our copies of the festival guide, which is There are copies all over the place. You can go downtown and pick them up now. Jody said they're going to be in the Daily Progress on Wednesday. I found so many people here in town, and I've had this conversation enough times that it actually gets a little embarrassing. I'll talk to them about the film festival. They'll say, yeah, you know, I've lived here in town for 20 years. I've never gone. And so I've gotten in the habit, I'm not kidding, I've been carrying these around and just handing them to people and saying, well, we'll take a look, you know, and maybe if I know something about them. I had a friend yesterday who I know particularly likes silent films. So I showed her that we're showing The General.
That's right.
And the
With
artist.
Matt Marshall, who's going to be doing the musical accompaniment for that film.
Right. And the Artist, which sounds like a really interesting film. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, that's a new film that was really
a new silent film
about a silent film in black and white, of course. And, you know, that did extraordinarily well at Cannes and then was the talk of Toronto. The Weinstein Company has it, and they're touting it as their big Oscar contender this year. And, you know, this is just going to be amazing to be able to see this film in a classic movie palace like the Paramount Theater, built in 1931 and lovingly restored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that might be the sleeper of the Virginia Film Festival this year. I'm not sure everybody really knows about it, and I hope they're not intimidated by seeing a new silent film. But this is a beautiful film and one everybody should rush out to see. Among the other films that are spotlight, we need to talk about Kevin, which I think is sold out or just about sold
close.
Out again. A Dangerous Method, which is the Cronenberg film.
Following the early days of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and the third point of their interesting triangle.
And also stars the lovely Keira Knightley. And Butter, which has also been a little bit of a controversial film.
This is a bit of a political satire.
Yeah, a little bit of a political satire that stars Jennifer Garner as a butter carver. I kid you not, a butter carver in the Midwest. And, you know, I think this film is going to do very well for us as well.
Now, one of you have a new theater this year. I've handed the program to people, as I said, and they've asked me, where's UVA Now Auditorium?
Right.
So here's, and how do you pronounce it? So
now,
here's your opportunity
now.
To do both.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's on the new South Lawn.
Right.
At the University of Virginia, and beautiful, beautiful building, beautiful facility. We just want to make sure people in our program, there's a map. There will be in the hook on Thursday morning a map as well that will tell you how to get there. And it's a great facility. It seats about 265. It's a slight rake, very comfortable chairs, and we're screening some great documentaries there, including Page One, A Year in the Life of the New York Times. We have McGregor McCants, who is the managing editor of the Daily Progress, and Brian Stelter, a New York Times journalist who's featured in this film, coming in for a moderated discussion.
And immediately following that screening, actually, we have Revenge of the Electric Car, the sequel to Who Killed the Electric Car.
Right.
A fascinating documentary.
Now,
Electric Car is back.
Swinging
yes.
back a bit. And we're bringing in Oliver Kuttner, the CEO of Edison II, winner of the X Prize, who's now working on their first prototype of an electric vehicle they just tested.
Which I think got 365 miles on a gallon of gas and electric help as well. So this should be pretty fascinating
Absolutely.
Discussion. We also, on the weekend, have two films that were actually featured in this morning's Daily Progress, Wounded Warriors Resilience and A Second Knock at the Door. A Second Knock at the Door deals with sort of the horrors of friendly fire and the aftermath of that for families.
With somewhat local ties, we're bringing in the family of Private First Class David Sherritt, whose story is featured quite prominently in the film.
And then the second one is by director Jay Lavender, who lives in Charlottesville and is a prominent Hollywood screenwriter, and deals with the Wounded Warrior Project. And a number of our Wounded Warriors will be on hand to discuss the film afterwards. So this is a really, really interesting lineup. And you know, that's one of the things that really you know, excites me about programming for Charlottesville is we love to find films that we feel resonate in the community.
Right.
It's films like this, Farmageddon, that we're screening screening that features Joel Salatin from Polyface Farms, mm-hmm. and the struggles that local and regional farm makers, smaller farm makers, have in dealing with governmental regulations, and Cafeteria Man, which is going to be one of my favorites of the festival this year. We're bringing in the celebrity chef Tony Giracci, who's featured in this film. He was hired by the Baltimore County Public School System to reform their lunches when a group of students walked into the school superintendent's office, plopped their lunch on a tray on his desk, and said, "You eat it." And he did, and he said, "Boy, you're right. We got to do something about this." And he brought in Tony Giracci, who started. He actually had them buy a farm. They went to all locally sourced stuff. And there's this wonderful moment in the film where he talks about how so often urban city youths don't have an opportunity to have fresh fruits and vegetables. And the first time a young boy actually held a peach, and how he took the peach and he rubbed it to his cheek and felt the peach fuzz and then took a bite of it, and the juice was just coming out of his mouth, and the smile on this young boy's face and how good that felt, and how he just stopped getting canned peaches with all that soupy, syrupy sauce in it, mm-hmm. and went to local orchards and started buying them, and how that's helped the local economy as well. So this is a very current hot-button issue here in Charlottesville with school lunches and locally sourced food, and I think very important that we take a look at this.
And you mentioned this, this is a perfect segue. You mentioned one of the subtopics in the film festival. We're talking to Jody Kubasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. You mentioned the local unfocused food. You already talked about the Virginia Filmmakers Showcase, Turner Classic Movies, and Library of Congress celebrate the National Film Registry, 45 years of Kartemquin film. There's another thread running through the festival, and that is Israeli Jewish voices.
That's right, yes. You know, we've worked with Congregation Beth Israel and mm-hmm. the Embassy of Israel to program a rather extensive film program. It's 8 films, is it, Wes?
That's right.
Of some very strong 4 really, really fine Israeli films that we feel very strong about, and 4 other additional films that examine Jewish identity, culture, and heritage that are part of this film sidebar. And they're wonderful films as well. Films like Restoration, which won the Screenwriting Award at Sundance this past January. La Rafla, which has won 13 Jewish film festivals.
There's Jean Reno and Melanie Laurent from Inglourious Bastards.
In Darkness, which is a Polish film that is likely to be their Academy Award nominee for Best Foreign Film. It's a spectacular lineup. And then on Sunday morning, we're screening an absolutely beautiful film called David, about a young Muslim boy in Brooklyn.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Stumbles upon a group of Jewish boys who are playing basketball, and one of them leaves the Torah behind, and he follows them to try and return the book and gets sort of caught up in their private school and is too embarrassed to admit who he is and just sits in on the class and discovers that he enjoys it and starts going every day. And beautiful film, beautiful family film, great message for all faiths, which is really great. I highly recommend seeing this film. It's just a beautiful, beautiful film and a beautiful story.
On the subject of basketball, you've got another film called Elevate about basketball players from Senegal.
Yes, that's true. West African basketball players who go through a basketball academy in Africa to prepare them mentally, physically, and academically to go to the United States, to go to prep schools, and eventually on to institutions of higher learning, colleges and universities, and hopefully one day to play professionally. But most importantly, to receive a good, strong education. And the film features our own Asan Sen mm-hmm. on the UVA basketball team, who's featured throughout this film. It's a very strong, very powerful film, great message. Again, another film that I recommend. We also have another special guest, Paul Younger-Witt, who's coming in, who's had just an amazing over 40-year career in film and television, among his films Three Kings, Dead Poets Society, some of the top sitcoms of the 70s and 80s, and he has a film called A Better Life, which is a real strong film about a Latino gardener and his son and sort of their struggles and challenges in Los Angeles. It's current because of immigration policy, and Paul Younger Witt will be on hand as the producer immediately following that film to discuss it as well. That's playing Friday evening, too.
For film buffs, that's something of a contemporary updating of Bicycle Thieves set in Los Angeles with a Latino cast, so it should be quite a bit of fun.
And speaking of friends of the film festival, Kevin Everson is back with 5 films. He's, of course, he's UVA professor of art and a filmmaker, and he's actually been showing this around at some other festivals, as you know.
He's had an incredible year so far. A couple of these shorts that we're showing, he's premiered at Toronto. He had a solo retrospective at the Whitney earlier this year, and he just told me night before last, actually, that he's got another one coming up, so that's quite the coup for him.
Very positive review on his showing at the Whitney as well in the New York Times, with a very nice article written about him.
And I have to mention this just because I know nothing about the film, but it is my single favorite title.
I know what's coming.
Of all films that you're showing, and that is Codependent Lesbian Space Aliens Seek Same.
Let's say that again. Codependent Lesbian Space Aliens Seek Same. It is exactly what it sounds like, and it is a hell of a lot of fun.
It practically writes itself, doesn't it, with a title like that?
Yeah, so it's basically centers around a crew of a flying saucer coming to Earth with the aim of getting their hearts broken to rid themselves of emotions which are toxic to their homeworld's atmosphere.
Now, you also do a screening every year for local students, and this year you've chosen a really interesting documentary. Just been handed a no. Okay, we'll get to this in a second, but tell me about The Loving Story.
Right. Well, The Loving Story is a really powerful documentary about Mildred and Richard Loving, who were married. They were an interracial couple living just north of Richmond in a small community in 1957, when one evening they were hauled out of their bed in the dark of night by the sheriff and banned from the state of Virginia, under the current laws. And they actually lived in a community that was, at the times, very open to this. There were a lot of interracial relationships, and it seemed like their friends and family didn't have a problem with it, but certainly the law and the sheriff did. And they used to sneak back under cover of darkness to visit their family, and they were arrested several times and summarily banned each time from the state. And finally, the ACLU took up the case, and it went to the Supreme Court, and it was a landmark Supreme Court decision that came down, I believe, in 1968. In favor of Mildred and Richard Loving. And it's a very powerful documentary. The film is actually directed by Nancy Bursky, who is the former director of the Full Frame Film Festival, which is in Durham, North Carolina, each year. And she is going to be coming in along with the producer on the project. We're screening this. We also are bringing in the original lawyer, Phil Hirschkopf, who argued this case nearly 40 years ago, and the daughter of Mildred and Richard Loving, who have since passed away, but Peggy Loving, who will be in for this film to talk about it. We're screening this in front of over 1,100 high school students at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center as part of our outreach and education program and our commitment to education. A study guide is presented. We were actually contacted by the Full Frame Festival to ask if they could use this study guide in the school systems of North Carolina as well, so we're really proud of the work that was done by Jane Freeman and Stephanie LeBolt on this, working for us at the University of Virginia here. And this is going to be a really, really great screening. And we're reprising that screening in Now Auditorium.
Yes.
On Friday evening as well, with the same lineup. And we've done this in association with the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, who originally helped fund this film as well, I guess a little over a year ago as they started to make this film. So, you know, it's going to be a great presentation. This is a great film with very strong ties to Virginia.
All right. We've got a I'm going to give you this question, and then I'm going to go to underwriting for a moment. John from Batesville called in to say, what are your suggestions for movies that are still available, that they still have tickets for? We're talking to Wes Harris and Jody Cabasa at the Virginia Film Festival, and we'll be back with them in just a moment.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins and Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
The jury makes judgment in Eric Abscher's murder trial. The Hook's current issue follows the trial from day one to the jury's decision. Former Charlottesville City Council candidate James Halfaday was recently charged with four felony counts of election fraud. And what's at stake in the upcoming 2001 elections? The Hook continues with part two of the look at balance of power on Newsstands Now, The Hook. All right, we have Wes Harris and Jody Cabasa from the Virginia Film Festival here, and I left you dangling with a question, what can people still go see? You're showing 115 films over 4 days. Obviously, you can't see them all, and you've mentioned a number of films that have already sold out. So what are good alternatives for people who are just now tuning in and thinking about what they want to go see?
Well, first of all, let me stress that to date, only four films have sold out. So okay. We still have 111 films that you can see. Now, I guarantee you a lot more will sell out. So, again, I encourage people to start checking that website out or the program and buying your tickets now. But, you know, that being said, Wes, why don't you and I go back and forth? Let's start with the foreign films because we haven't really talked about that.
There are a few that if you look through this program, that there's some really nice gems hidden in here, one of which that actually is up against The Descendants, our opening night film, which is sold out. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for that, you can make your way downtown to the Regal to see The Day He Arrives, which is one of my favorite foreign films we're showing this year. It's a South Korean film by, I will call him an auteur, Hong Sang-soo. The film strikes me as just being so at home in the French New Wave of the 60s, but is a brand new South Korean film, a director sort of palling around with his friends and students on the street and just having a blast. It's beautifully shot. It's a new black and white film from South Korea, one of my sort of pet films in the program, another one of which is Family Instinct, a very bizarre portrait of a Latvian family, and I'll leave it at that for a Sunday morning. You can read more about it online. A third foreign film that I'll bring up at this point is called Curling.
I love that film.
I was really excited when I found that. It's classic film distributor New Yorker Films is circulating that this year. It's a French-Canadian narrative set in the sort of snowy countryside, and though we are in something of a curling renaissance downtown in the Main Street Arena, there's really only a dream sequence that features curling in the film, and it's sort of centered around that and sort of very oblique and indirect. And
odd, quirky, dark film, Fargo-esque almost, but very different nonetheless.
Very different. Curling is that basically the world's slowest sport, right? Where they throw a hot iron down the ice,
and
sweep the ice out of the way.
Pucks around. That's my understanding of it. I don't know, Sean.
Talk about the Turin horse for a minute.
Turin horse is a phenomenal. Speaking of slow going, it's a 2.5 hour exploration of the latter part of Friedrich Nietzsche's life through the lens of a horse he witnesses getting whipped one morning.
And this is an actual documented historical incident.
Absolutely.
That's
then expounded upon to there's a sort of a famous anecdote of Nietzsche witnessing this horse being whipped on the street in Turin.
Mm-hmm.
And he breaks down, he pulls the man away from this horse and weeps over this sight that he's seen. And what this film then does is follows the horse and the horse's life and the family around him. And it's just gorgeously shot, just impossibly textured grays and blacks and well, to bring it up, chiaroscuro.
Can't say enough about King of Devil's Island, which is an incredibly powerful Norwegian film that focuses on a teenage boy who's incarcerated in sort of a boys' prison, although they refer to it more as a correctional school, in the 1930s on this island, and all that goes on in that prison or that correctional school. And it's a very powerful, very gripping film.
One of our two films featuring Stellan Skarsgård this year, something of a cult actor.
Cult, and yet comes up in powerhouse Hollywood films, guys everywhere, all over the time. We talked about Natural Selection. If you want to see a great independent film, Natural Selection. Same thing with our closing night film, Thin Ice. We certainly have some tickets available for those as well.
Let's talk about that. This is a tradition that you started, Jody, when you joined the film festival, having a closing night film.
Right.
And that's turned out to be very successful, bringing in a big film and sometimes a big star. So let's talk about the bookend. So we've got a closing night on Sunday night,
right?
And then we have the opening night gala on Thursday night,
right?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, because that is also a change.
Well, you know, first of all, the word festival means to celebrate, and we're celebrating the art of film, and that celebration means engaging the community in a dialogue, celebrating the artists, the filmmakers, everybody that we bring in, and in some cases it means party. We have which is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So we have an opening night gala immediately following the screening of The Descendants. It's at the Alumni Hall on the grounds of the university. But last year, the AV company came in and transformed that place. It looked like the Delano Hotel in South Beach. We're doing something similar yet different this year. And, you know, these parties are available to the public. Saturday night, we have the late night wrap party, which is a little bit of a misnomer because the festival's not wrapped at that point. But we figured rather than have a party on a Sunday night. And this party starts up at 10 o'clock, goes till 2 o'clock in the morning. It's at the Main Street Arena, which once again is transformed. There's great food and drink and great DJ. And it's only $35 to attend. Opportunity to mix and mingle with the filmmakers and patrons and talk about the great films that you've seen, hopefully over the course of the 4 days of the festival. So, you know, I highly recommend, you know, participating in those events as well.
We're talking to Wes Harris and Jody Cabasa at the Virginia Film Festival. Support today is coming from the backyard, the UVA Corner's Culinary Secret, at the end of Elliewood Avenue, across from Para Coffee. The backyard is a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The backyard is now open on Sunday, serving brunch, then a pub food menu until close. For more info, it's 434-202-8215, or thebackyarduva.com, or on Facebook. In addition to all the wealth of films, there are programs that are running throughout the festival that people can just drop in on at the Digital Media Gallery.
Well, that's right. The Digital Media Gallery we've done for the past 2 years. It was something that that I started when I first came here, and something that I actually love. Kevin Everson's class makes digital short films. The Bridges participated in this, so a lot of community artists as well. And in the past, we've taken over a storefront on the downtown mall and sort of done an installation, an art installation. And it's been very cool, very, very wonderful, had great attendance. But this year, we've taken it outdoors on the downtown mall and on the grounds of the arts grounds of the University of Virginia. And we're putting these projections up in the trees, on screens, on the buildings of these films. We sort of launched it not so perfectly on Friday evening because we had all that wintry mix of weather, and so we had a few snafus, but we hope to have it running by Monday evening through the entire festival, and it's another way just to reach people and have them engage in this year's Virginia Film Festival.
Additionally, on the Friday and Saturday evenings of the festival from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Garage on 2nd Street, we'll be screening a series of short films each of those evenings, which is another sort of tangentially related screening there that should be a lot of fun.
You know, speaking of the Garage, you should talk about the musical. Wes has programmed a musical sidebar this year that we're excited about.
That was going to be my final last hurrah, and seems very fitting since we're here in the studio. What really started this was we launched our call for entries again this year, and one of the films that showed up was a great documentary called From the Back of the Room, and that's a history of the 30 years of women's involvement in the punk film movement and the history of Riot Girl starting up a little more recently. We have director Amy Oden coming down from D.C. who pulled this film together. It features very prominently Kathleen Hanna, Cynthia Connolly, and a number of other Riot Girl figures. Apart from that, we also have a film that features specifically on La Tigra. It's called Who Took the Bomb, La Tigra on Tour. And that's a wonderful, very fun tour film. They're such a cast of characters. They recently came and played under a different moniker, Men, at the Satellite Ballroom a few years ago that Jen Sumaco pulled together. She'll also be introducing the film. We also have a film called Better Than Something, which is a documentary of the late musician Jay Retard, the Memphis garage rocker who passed, I guess, just, 3 years ago, perhaps. And it was a project that he wanted to happen. He initiated it. I've met with the filmmakers. They were just so egoless about this project, and it's a great portrait of an artist. Speaking of, we also have Alchemy of an American Artist, which profiles local musician and artist Christian Breeden, from director Mark Adams. That's a part of our Virginia Filmmakers Showcase on the Saturday of the festival in Vinegar Hill. We also have a film called Passione, which is John Turturro's documentary of the Neapolitan music of southern Italy. So it's a quite a variety of films spanning throughout the festival. I think there's a little bit of something for everyone.
And Jody, you mentioned earlier the free screening of National Velvet. That's part of Family Day.
That's right.
On November 5th. You have to talk about that.
Yeah, we're very proud of Family Day. You know, last year we reached over 3,500 children and families with free programming during the Virginia Film Festival. On Saturday morning from 10 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we offer a number of free screenings, an interactive family fun fair that has treats from Whole Foods, a number of musical and theatrical performances on the downtown mall in front of the Main Street Arena, the free screening starting at 10:30 a.m. of National Velvet. We have over 325 elementary school kids that present at the Young Filmmakers Academy. They have been working for 2 months on a series of short films that they'll present as well. And, of course, that incredible nonprofit group, Lighthouse, will be screening a selection of their short films as well. All of this, balloon tying, juggling, musical performances, is all free. And, you know, National Velvet, what a great film. Wonderful role model for mm-hmm. young girls. You know, baby boomers who grew up with that film, I'm one of those, should go and take their grandchildren or their kids to see this film. If you're a mom and dad and you haven't seen this film, you should go see it. It's a beautiful, beautiful film about a young girl who in England who races in the National, which is a steeplechase horse race, with her beloved horse. And Mickey Rooney is in the film, and he trains the horse, and just a great, great film. So, you know, this is part of our ongoing tradition for families and kids, and we hope people just come on out that day and enjoy it.
Wes, when you were mentioning documentaries and musicals, did you talk about the other F word? Because that one really intrigues me.
Yeah, it's well, first of all, the other F word is father, so it's worry not.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a family show.
Yes. And that's Saturday at 11:30 at Now Auditorium.
It features members of punk and hard rock bands from the 90s. There's Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, Tony Hawk, Art Alexis, Mark Hoppus, who have sort of grown out of their cargo shorts and into the role of a father, sort of settling down with their children, learning that new role, transitioning from the very anti-authoritarian model of their music to the
ultimate authority.
Exactly.
Middle-aged fathers. Rockers changing diapers.
There you go.
I've just handed a note that We Are Astronomers features a local filmmaker and WNRN DJ about a local band.
That's right. David Dillahunt pulled together this film featuring the Astronomers. It's a really great... It's one of the earliest films that we are showing on Thursday at 4:30 in Vinegar Hill. Unfortunately, the band is going to be out of town that weekend, but we'll have David there, and we'll have the film, and both he and the film itself are really great, so I'm really happy to be showing that this year.
There's another really interesting documentary that you're showing on Saturday at 5. We're talking to Wes Harris and Jody Kubasa at the Virginia Film Festival. And help me pronounce this. Is it El Sicario?
That's right.
Room 164?
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah. This is a riveting, gripping documentary.
Surprisingly so, for a film that consists essentially of a single static shot of a man sitting in a chair. Truly.
Yeah.
With his face covered in a black hood.
Right.
So he cannot be identified.
Nothing more than a notebook for a prop. He was a former cartel hitman who was employed both by the cartel and the Chihuahua State Police, working for both, getting training from both, working both sides. And this film is essentially him sitting down in a hotel room with the filmmaker, with the filmmaker diagramming basically the proper way to make a hit.
The hotel room in which he actually tortured and maybe killed many of these people as well, I might add. So it is really fascinating. It's graphic, it's fascinating, and it goes into tremendous detail about how and why the cartels are so difficult to control.
It's a really interesting take on violence, because you say graphic, but it's really just is the sort of narrative that he's sitting in. But it's more disturbing than
I think it's graphic in the matter of factness in which it's delivered. But you're right. There's no car chases in this film or people actually getting a bullet in front of you.
It's the reality
of the matter of fact delivery of this guy as he talks about what he's done.
You are listening to The Wake Up Call. Our guests today are Jody Kubasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. Wake Up Calls on WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS in FM, Sweetbriar, Amherst, and Lynchburg. Hovering around me is Drew Thompson. Join Drew this Sunday, today at noon, for Les Tents Purdue, the best 80s and 90s alternative, with bands like Dire Straits, The Ramones, and The Pet Shop Boys. Brought to you in part by Caliente. Requests are always welcome on Les Tents Purdue. Today's programming on WNRN is brought to you by Blue Ridge Graphics, Meade Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics at 434-296-9746 and at brgtshirts.com. We've only got just a little less than 5 minutes left. I'm going to ask you if there were any particular films that we haven't spoken about yet that you might want to mention. One that leaps to mind is... Boy, back in college, I loved to go to midnight screenings of films. What a better way to celebrate your youth and to go out to a film at midnight, get out at 2 o'clock, and hit the streets with your friends. And you're having a midnight matinee of a film about midnight matinees, called appropriately Midnight Matinee Psycho.
That's right. We have filmmaker Derek Young coming in to present his film. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's a very low budget, very sort of gritty, fun slasher film, essentially, of a killer stalking midnight matinee theater goers. We're showing it at 11:45 on I think Friday night.
Saturday night at the Regal.
At the Regal,
according
mm-hmm.
to this. So I guess it's Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Well, that's why we did the 15-minute thing, so people wouldn't have to worry about 12 a.m. or p.m. We just did it at 11:45 to save people the headache.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, films that we haven't talked about yet, Joe.
Well, I'm gonna highlight two films we have talked about a little bit, but just you talked about I've established a new tradition of a closing night film. Well, certainly Thin Ice is our closing night film at the Paramount, but I'm gonna encourage everybody to do back-to-back features and go see The Artist at the Paramount Theater, which is that silent film about a silent film that's a new film that we talked about earlier. You're going to kick yourself if you miss that film, and then end the festival in the same space at the Paramount to watch Thin Ice. The festival doesn't end with a whimper any longer on Sunday. It goes out strong on Sunday evening, and one of the things we've tried to do is program and have a lot of tough choices for people. I think if you really want to experience the festival, you're going to be running from venue to venue during the festival, excited to participate in the discussions, to hear artists like Oliver Stone or Sissy and Jack Spacek, and then go see a new independent film, a foreign film, or sort of a big tentpole studio film like The Descendants or Albert Nobbs as well.
We've also got a film called Women Art Revolution, which
yes,
is right
you.
At the top of
yes,
our
yes.
alphabetized listing, because it starts with an exclamation point, properly enough. It's sort of a history of the last 40 years of the feminist art movement. Lynn Hirschman Leeson does this fantastic document that she's been working on for decades. We've got a really strong panel pulled together for it. There's a score by Slater Kinney's Carrie Brownstein, who people may know from the recent IFC series Portlandia. Also, we have a strong foreign film called Three. It's the numeral Three by Tom Teichver, the director of Run Lola Run.
Here.
That's right. Here, a strong film starring Ben Foster.
And Wes, before you leave Women Art Revolution, you mentioned the panel, but our panelists right. on that one are Terry Allard.
We have Terry Allard.
Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell.
Carmenita Higginbotham.
From the University of Virginia. And Doro Bachrock, who is a Virginia Film Festival Advisory Board member, longtime producer of documentary film, and was the consulting producer on Women Art Revolution. And she's going to moderate that panel.
And that film's been touring very strongly this year, so we're really excited to have such a strong panel pulled together for it.
And let's talk about a wonderful Virginia Film Festival tradition that we haven't mentioned yet, and that's the Adrenaline Film Project.
Well, that's right. Every year, it's the eighth year of the Adrenaline Film Project. 72 hours to pitch, write, create, edit, direct, produce, and present your own film. And it all has to be done within that 72 hours. The filmmakers meet on Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday evening at 10 o'clock at the Culber Theater, the 12 filmmaking teams present their 12 films in front of a sold-out audience every year at Culber on the grounds of the University of Virginia, 10 p.m. on Saturday night. And then we have a reprise screening late Sunday morning at the Regal Theater. Always a tremendous turnout for this. People love this tradition, and you'll be seeing a lot of these filmmakers making their films in the 72 hours of the film festival all over Charlottesville.
Right, and they're given, and we're actually going a little bit over time here, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. They're given, on Wednesday night, they're given what, like an object and a phrase that somebody has to say in the film, and nothing more, and then they have to go out and put together this film,
right, exactly,
and screen it 72
yeah,
hours later.
That's exactly correct. And these teams compete. The audience votes on the awards. And that's another thing. Audiences vote for your best film during the festival. We established this tradition last year. We're carrying this on. So, after every film, you're going to be given a ballot. We really encourage you. You're going to have a voice in selecting the best narrative film, the best documentary, and the best narrative short, and the best documentary short.
All right, obviously we could go on and on, but you have to get back to your festival. I have to step aside and let Drew start his show. Jody Kilbasa, Wes Harris, thank you very much for being here, and we'll see you at the movies.
Great. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.